Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today I have got some guests that are just going to thrill you to bits. They're thrilling me to bits, and I haven't even talked to them yet. I'm going to be talking first with Mary Lou Henner about memories and how to get those memories that we have and use them as quilters. She's got some things we can do to help our memories. And I'm going to have Monica Solario Snow back on the show. She's from The Happy Zombie, and we're going to be talking about the Sisters Quilt Show and about sort of breaking out of your routine for quilting. And then last, we'll have Jackie Kunkel on of Canton Village Quilt Works. And Jackie is a designer, a paper piecer extraordinaire, and a fabric lover like the rest of us. So we've got some really neat things to chat about there. When I am, you know, what I really enjoy about this show is being able to find some guests that can bring something unique to us as a quilter. And when I read that Mary Lou Henner was doing a book on memories and, you know, and her memory, and she just has this extraordinary thing going on, I thought, you know, it'd be really cool to get her on here. And my friend Tracy Marvel was taking a workshop with her. So, you know, Mary Lou has been out in the world, in, you know, as an actress, as an author. She's won the Golden Globe, or maybe she's had a nominee. Ah, we'll let Mary Lou come on and tell us about that. So hi, Mary Lou, how are you?
Hi. How great. Your show sounds so fabulous, and you play wonderful music and everything, so it's great to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. You are quite an accomplished person, Mary Lou. You have done so many wonderful things, and I've followed your work for years and years and years. This is a joy.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I love all of it. So I grew up in a very colorful family, and we did a lot of different things at my house. So I think I just had to grow up and sort of pay it forward and keep it going.
Well, you know, your new book about memory recall is just so fascinating. Tell me a little bit about your memory for those who, you know, some people may not realize what an incredible memory you have.
There are 12 of us who have been documented with this kind of memory so far. They're finding a few more people. And it was something that I grew up with my entire life. I knew that I had a very unusual memory and that no one else around me had a similar kind of memory. And it's basically, you can name any date within my lifetime, and I'll tell you what day of the week it was and what I was doing on that day. So that's what makes it so unique, is that I remember details and incidents in my life in a way that most people don't. And after we went through all the testing and they measured our brains and took all these, you know, 400 different measurements in different sections of our brains, they found that there were these 9 sections that were very different from most other people's. But for me, I know that it's been a combination of nature and nurture, because having grown up in a very colorful family, very creative, very, you know, lots of ideas always floating around among the 8 of us growing up together, because there were 6 brothers and sisters, I know that a lot of it has to do with nature and nurture. So what I've written in my book is some of the things that I do naturally, but some of the exercises that can help people exercise their and tap into their autobiographical memories. Because the way I look at it is, your story is in you whether or not you're acknowledging it.
And yeah, I think that's really the fascinating part, Mary Lou, that you have some really sort of interesting ways that you feel people can go back in themselves, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, because people, you know, I bring up questions in the book, and actually it's funny, you're talking to me today because I'm delivering my Total Memory Makeover calendar, which is going to be a kind of a page a day, you know, sort of memory exercises and prompting questions and things like that. And so I have to deliver it today. So, the whole idea of helping people with their autobiographical memories is very, you know, in the foreground of my mind right now. And what it basically is that a lot of times people don't ask themselves certain questions that would be memory prompters. You know, when I tell people, For example, you know, almost everyone says to me, asks me the day they were born, what day of the week it was, and what I was doing on that day. Mm-hmm. And if it's within my lifetime, I tell them. But when I turn it around and say, okay, now I know your 21st birthday was on, do you know when it was, what day of the week it was? Because I know instantly. And then when they figure it out or I tell them, they say, oh, yeah. And pretty soon you can see it in their faces. The memories start flooding back. You know, oh, yeah, it was on a Friday, and I couldn't wait to drink, and, you know, things like that. So whatever it is, people's memories, even something as silly as their 21st birthday, they are deeply embedded on their hard drives. And the positives, the negatives, the little our town moments, the dull, mundane, you know, little nothing days are in there. They're all in there telling our story. And one of the things I love so much about Tracy's reaction to the memory class is that she was able to take a lot of these memory prompting questions and exercises and turn them into, you know, a creative way that she's turning them into a quilt, her memory quilt.
I know she showed me the blocks, and it's just incredible where she's thinking about something from her childhood and then taking those images and creating like a little painting, which, you know, we make it in fabric, so it's a quilt.
Right, of course.
Can you explain, Mary Lou, what you actually see? Because I think you see your memories a little bit differently than most of us do.
Well, for me, you know, if you give me a date, what happens to me is that I sort of see it on a timeline, left to right, a year, and mm-hmm. I'm able to zero in on a day, and I can see it. It's almost like simultaneous little movie montages. The first time I saw a scene selection on a DVD where they, you know, you have all these little video screens kind of going all at once, I thought, oh, right. That's how my memory works. That's kind of what it's like, although it's very tightly packed, so it would be one little montage after the next, you know. And I mean, I've been describing it for so long that I used to say it was like going to the library and pulling out a card catalog and how everything was kind of organized. But the first time I saw a scene selection on a DVD, I thought that's the closest thing to it, because it's like little movie montage that are always kind of going. Now, the thing is, it doesn't keep me from living my life. It doesn't keep me from accomplishing other things. It doesn't keep me from, you know, fully, enjoying the experience of what I'm doing. It's just like this little pilot light that's always on, and I can like turn it up to a high flame, or I can, you know, keep it just kind of on the pilot light phase.
So, you know, I always find that fascinating that it doesn't get in your way. So that's good to know. So if we start unlocking all these, you know, wonderful or crazy memories, they're not going to, like, you know, be there
paralyze
all the time.
Us? No. You know, the thing is that our brains are capable of so much more than we allow them to exercise. We're capable of the Library of Congress, you know, retaining that kind of information. And for me, the more I remember, the more I want to remember, the more I can remember. And it's just in there. It's just, it's all in there. And I've never worked with someone as a memory student who didn't, who couldn't remember more than they originally thought they could. You know, everyone's memories come back more than they ever thought were possible, because it's really kind of like going in there and shaking out some of those cobwebs and teaching people how to cross-connect information. You know, I keep saying that everyone has a primary memory track on which they embed their memories. Everyone has something. I don't care how bad you think your memory is. Everyone has something that they remember especially well. And I call that their primary memory track. And it could be anything from travel to relationships.
So that would be the things that you'd want to look at first.
Sure.
Let's see. It looks like we maybe lost Mary Lou for a second. We'll see if we can get her back.
I'm here.
Oh, you're here. Okay.
Oh, great. No, so it's their primary memory track. And if you start, you know, it's kind of like if you think of your life as this huge jigsaw puzzle, your track, those are those hard-edged pieces that kind of help you make the complete picture. So if you start with your memory track, and then you also play to your dominant sense. You know, everyone has a dominant sense. Like, everyone has a very strong sense of smell or sight or touch or taste. And I have a quiz in my book that will help you kind of locate that. And then what happens is when you start playing to that strength and you start with your track and you start with your dominant sense, it's amazing how many memories you can bring up.
What would be like an easy question, like if a quilter wants to make a memory quilt about their childhood, and maybe they, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I can't remember anything when I was a kid. So what kind of questions or what kind of path would you direct people to get back in there?
Well, memories are tied to adrenaline, both positively and negatively. So people will remember the highs and lows of their lives. And I always say, if I were making a quilt and I wanted to do a quilt of my entire life, I would probably think of how many different squares is a quilt? Because I don't.
Well,
really
maybe
know.
12. You might do 12 major 12. Events.
Okay, so then if you thought that you were going to be on the Biography Channel or the A&E special or a Lifetime special about your life, you might think of what are those 12 chapters? How would I divide my life into 12 turning points or chapters or main events? And I might try to do some memory prompting in each of those categories. Like, for example, you might say, okay, well, let's start with something silly like birthdays, you know, and you might think about all the birthdays you've had, and you might go, oh my gosh, at 10 years old, this happened, or around 17. And it's not so much, I mean, you could do a whole birthday quilt, you know, whatever, but you might just help locate some of those big turning points or those big stories that you might have inside of you. Do you know what I mean? Those main events. I mean, like for me, I lost my father when I was 17, and it was such a hugely traumatic thing that I know that that's a very strong turning point chapter in my life. It would be something that I'd devote a whole chapter of an episode or a book or something like that too, you know? So I think that those, you know, if you started with even Christmases or holidays or birthdays, some of those really fun, pleasant things that are always kind of there on the surface. Oh, my favorite gift was when my mom gave me this at 12, or I remember this happened. You know, just start doing some of the memory work and start seeing what comes up. You know, memory work is, you can go as deep or as shallow as you want to go with it. That's what's so great about it. And it's all about you. You know, a lot of times when we study things, we're not studying about ourselves, but this is giving you permission, and it actually makes you, I think, less selfish in a way, because you start to see, you know, you start to understand your own kind of ups and downs and all the stages in between, and it kind of helps you see how other people, it's not just all, you know, black and white, that kind of thing.
Well, Mary Lou, this has been absolutely fabulous. I think it's something that your book, Total Memory Makeover, Uncover Your Past, Take Charge of Your Future, is something a lot of quilters would use and really be able to help them with their design work. And I just really love having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. I definitely would love to come back sometime.
Great.
So, okay. Take care.
Bye. We'll be right back after this break. Visit Mary Lou at marylou.com.
Join Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is! Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anil Ahoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
We'll be right back.
our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and now I have Monica Solario-Snow from thehappyzombie.com. Monica is a regular contributor to American Patchwork and Quilting's family of magazines. You love her really wonderful and easy-to-do projects. She's also a fabric designer, and we're going to get her on here to talk about some things that she's just done recently, like going to the Sisters Oregon Quilt Show. So, hi, Monica. How are you?
Hi, Pat. Oh, it's so good to be on your show again.
I'm glad you're here. Are you still in Oregon?
I'm still in Oregon.
Ah, wow. Live from Oregon. That's Monica.
Pardon me?
Live from Oregon. It's Monica.
Yeah. And I'm not in my pajamas.
Oh, well.
No, I think that's... last time I did your show, I was in my pajamas.
Well, you could be. It would be fine. So did you love hearing how we could do better with our memory to, like, you know, peek inside there and pull out some new things?
Yeah, that was really interesting, and I it was interesting how that applied to quilt making too. So that was fun. But I have to I was kind of telling myself I should listen to this again because I'll probably forget.
You're so silly. So
do you... I know, but. But what I thought was fun is that Mary Lou came on before me, so now I get to put on my resume that Mary Lou Henner opened for me.
Yes. There you go. There, yeah. So what have you been doing in Sisters Oregon at the show? Give us a little peek at the quilt show and what it's like for you to go to the show. You went just as a, for fun.
Right. Well, I think everybody knows, but in case nobody doesn't know, the Sisters Outdoor Quilt Show, and it was the 37th year, and it is the baby of Jean Wells, and I don't know so much of the history, but now the driving force is Jean Wells and her daughter, Valerie Wells.
Right.
And it's a week long, first before the show, it's one day, Saturday, and in Sisters, Oregon, and then the week before the show, they have what's called Quilters Affair, and it's this whole bunch of teachers, people in the quilt industry come and they teach and people take classes and whatnot. And then our friend Elizabeth Hartman was teaching. So she got up there early, and then our group of friends, we all came up early and we rented a house and sewed and laughed and ate and sewed and laughed and ate. And then Saturday we went to the actual show.
Yeah, this just one day that they hang the quilts all outside. And is it
all
spectacular?
Outside. All outside, and they're hung from businesses and the whole town. It goes from a population of 2,000 to 20,000 or something like that. I don't know the actual numbers, but it's just, and it's sunny, and the quilts go up magically, which I think is volunteers in the fire department, and they come down magically. And then this year, for the first time ever in the history of the show, it rained.
Oh.
A thunderstorm came rolling in, but everything was fine from what I understand.
Cool. So and you really go something. With your buddies, the YAM, you have YAM Camp, which is your name for your group.
There's 13 of us, and we're a group of friends, and we all met in various places, but we all got tied in through Sew Mama Sew. Mm-hmm. And Kristen Link, who's the owner of Sew Mama Sew, had a small sewing circle. And we just kind of all, she invited us from various different fractions to join in the sewing circle. And it's kind of a long story, but we call ourselves the Yams, the Sweet Hot Yams.
Yes.
So we're like a little family, and then we get together, and we call everything Yam, like Yam Camp, and everything's Yam-tastic. We probably drive other people nuts, but we amuse ourselves.
Well, you know, it's fun. I think most groups who get together eventually have to have a name. You know, they have to, you know, because you have to reference yourself. So
that's right.
Yeah.
And even our spouses if we get together with our families, if we all go out to dinner, we call it Yam Fam.
Yeah.
And all of our kids are the Yamlets. And because we're like a family, like you say, you have to reference yourself. It's not so much that we want to have a name or a brand. It's just that's how we reference ourselves.
Yeah. I think it's fun. I think the more fun the name is, the better for a group. And so,
yeah.
You know.
And it all happened quite by accident. We didn't set out for a specific name. It's all very organic and serendipitous. Mm-hmm. It just kind of happened. So that makes it all the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the more serendipitous, the better. So let's talk about, you have a quilt that's coming up in the next issue of American Patchwork and Quilting about the Modern Quilt Guild. Tell me a little bit about this quilt that you are going to have in our issue.
Okay, it's not actually my quilt. It's Alyssa Haight Carlton's quilt, and it's part of a traveling quilt bee, so we're all adding on to it as it goes along.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is her style is very different than mine. She's very linear and minimalist. And so when I got her initial block and then added on to that Elizabeth Hartman, it's kind of like a round robin, but like a mm-hmm. modern version.
Right.
And it's
right.
on Flickr. If anybody wants to go to Flickr, they can go to the traveling quilts and put that in. And so when it got to me, I was like, you know, this is what makes it so exciting. It's so not my style. It's mm-hmm. so not my type of fabrics that I have in my stash. Of course, now I do, which I love. And so I decided to do a wonky log cabin on the top and side would be my addition to her quilt.
Right.
And it was just so fun and so liberating to do something different. And do different techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like trying a new food. Like, oh, I've never eaten whatever. And then you try it and you're like, no, I can't live without it.
Right.
So
why hadn't you tried that style of sort of improvisational quilting prior? Because you were doing mostly traditional patchwork.
It's just something that came, you know, it's like anytime you see a quilt or something and you think, oh, I want to try that. You know, I haven't done that. Mm-hmm. There's always something new to be learned somewhere. And I think the best thing to do is just try it. Like, for me, it happened because this quilt in progress mm-hmm. was in my mailbox. But I think for people not to wait till something comes in their mailbox to see something and go, you know what, I'm going to try that.
Right.
And it's so fun, and it was, to just keep piecing and not worry about, oh, this has to be 2.5 inches by 4.5 inches. Not to worry about anything like that. Just keep going, building, cutting, culling, you know. So it's very liberating, and I just would like everybody to try doing something different that they're not normally accustomed to doing.
Well, you know what? They could go out to your website now and try the Ron Swanson along, because that's definitely different. So you want to tell us what this little project is that you're hosting?
I would love to. I'm having he's in 12 segments. He's Ron Swanson. He is the character played by Nick Offerman on mm-hmm. NBC's Parks and Rec. And I took a picture and I pixelated him, and I pixelated him some more through Photoshop and whatnot.
Right.
And then I made it so he was just 5 different values of color. White, I consider, even though technically it's not a color, but I'm calling it color as a reference.
Right.
So 5 different colors, and then he's chopped up into 12 pieces. Now, up close, it just looks like a big patchwork of 1,200 pieces, but the further you get away, you see his face. So
it's amazing. It's just, and then you've, like, convinced a whole lot of people they should make one.
And I'm still convincing him right now. So if you're listening, make it right
yes.
now. You can
right,
go to
right.
thehappyzombie.com/RSA, Ron Swanson along. And it's really fun. And it's just, and I think about, people are leaving me comments like, oh, you should do such and such and such and such. And it's like, well, I would love to, but then I would end up wanting to make that as well.
Oh, I know. You know what I really like, Monica, about this particular project you're doing is that it's just for fun. You know, people can go and follow something like this and just get way out of their box
yeah.
and make a quilt that's purely for the joy of community and fun.
Yeah. Well, I hope people feel that way, because it's meant to be all in fun. So
yeah. It is. It is. Tell us about your newest fabric line.
Oh, thank you for asking.
Yes.
It is Winter Kissed, and it's by Lucienne, and it comes out in August from the most recent update that I have.
Uh-huh.
And it represents winter, how, from my perspective, which there's a lot of rain, so, and very little snow, so there's snowflakes and raindrops in the whole collection.
Mm-hmm.
And because not everybody has snow at Christmas.
No, they don't.
And then there's Noma Claus, my little Santa slash gnome, that was from my first fabric line. And originally he was in all different colors, but he only got to come out in red in that collection. So I begged and begged and begged, and they let me have Noma Claus come back in Winter Kiss in all six different colors.
Well, so Diane P. left a note on my blog to ask you if you were going to do any kind of a special Christmas sew-along or something for Winter Kissed.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not planning anything, but I know somebody is doing a Winter Kissed sew-along soon, and I'll have information on my blog about that because they're just getting started because I have nothing to do with it there. I just know that they're doing
okay.
it.
Okay. So all right, comes, so to keep up on your blog,
yeah,
see when there
yeah,
might be.
Yeah, and also Fat Quarterly is doing a designer challenge, so that'll be coming out soon, too.
Ah,
so these are all things
fun.
Other people are doing, which is really cool. So, but once those come out, I'll be promoting those on my blog.
And the other thing I have to ask you, because during the last Winter Olympics, you were very inspired to create a bag that looked like the Norwegian curling team's pants.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, are you going to be watching the Olympics and looking for incredible quilting opportunities?
I am. And I love the Olympics, winter and summer, but especially summer. And I'm hoping that I'm not setting out to be inspired by something, but I'm really hoping there's something that just sparks something and goes, where I go, that needs to be made into a quilt.
Hope so, too, because your inspirations are amazing when that hits you, Monica.
I'm blushing.
Well, this is,
you can hear that through the radio, but I'm blushing.
I can hear you blushing. So this has been great having you on the show. Thanks for coming and chatting about breaking out of that box, doing something different.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Pat.
Okay. we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks. Bye, Pat.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back after this break with Jackie Kunkel of Canton Village Quilt Works.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. So I wonder, what new thing will you try? What new thing will I try? Maybe Jackie will inspire me to try something after we talk with her today. So I've got designer and quilter Jackie Kunkel on. Her hobby and business of quilting has been going on for years and years and years, and we have known each other almost that long, I think. She is passionate about design. She runs a super neat little online store. She's a long armor. She builds quilt groups online, and she's a Judy Niememeyer instructor. So I'm really interested in that part of what she's been doing lately. So Jackie, thanks and welcome to the show.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for having me. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, this is so exciting. Do you remember how we, you know, we've met online?
I remember exactly where we met face-to-face.
Yeah.
We met online before we met face-to-face.
Right,
We met face-to-face at Moss's Seafood House or whatever down in Quilt Market in Houston in the ladies' room.
Right.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
See, we can go and do the Mary Lou thing now. We can pull up our memories and we could have a little quilt block
our
meeting.
That's right. I so enjoyed listening to her. And before you start asking me some questions, I need to just tell you, I need to give a shout out to my friend Monica, who was on before me, and let her know that my daughter gave me the thumbs up to do the Ron Swanson along. So I'm going to be building one of those quilts too.
What color are you going to do yours in?
You know, I have to discuss that with my daughter, but I'm not quite sure yet. We'll see.
It's really great. I mean, I'm not going to be sucked in though. I'm resisting that.
Oh, I don't know. Why not add one more thing to your list, Pat?
That's right. So Jackie, do you know? Tell me how you really got interested in quilting. You know, what sparked that for you?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of a little bit of a couple things kind of meshed together. I'm sure you remember way back when we were kids, we had home economics, and now they call it family and consumer sciences. And back when we had it, we were required to take it for like a year. Mm-hmm. And I learned to sew back then, and that was in sixth grade, and I really started off garment sewing. But I made my very first patchwork pillow then, and I actually still have that pillow. And it's not in bad shape either, I have to say. But so I really kind of got into sewing more so then, and I was doing garment sewing. And then, you know, fast forward to 1993, I was pregnant with my daughter, and we had agreed, like a lot of couples do, that one is going to stay home and take care of the kids. And my husband says, gee, you're going to be home, you know, you might want to get a hobby. You'll be bored. And I looked at him like he had two heads on it. You know, I said, I'm not going to be bored. He says, well, maybe you might want to take a class or something and get a hobby. And I said, okay. So I signed up for, which is now defunct. It doesn't exist anymore. House of Fabrics or Sofa Fabrics. I don't know if you remember that chain.
Yeah, I do. We had a few of those.
Yeah. I signed up for a quilting class there. And, I was already making baby clothes for my daughter at the time, but I thought I would want to try something different, quilting. So I took a class from this teacher, and she was very, very old school. When I say old school, she wanted to cut out the cardboard templates, use scissors only, no rotary cutter, no ruler. And I really didn't know a whole lot about quilting then, but I did know that there was a quicker way. And she said, no, we're not learning any of that. We're going to do it this way. Well, I was kind of turned off. Mm-hmm. But I didn't give up, and I took another class from somebody else, and I was instantly hooked when I learned how to use the rotary cutter and all. And it just kind of took off from there. It was, you know, my first pattern that I did was actually a quilt in a day. It was Eleanor Burns' Star Log Cabin, and I no longer have that quilt. I gave it to a good friend of mine, but I just was hooked. I was hooked with the fact that you could do it fairly quickly. It was very different from garment making, and that's how I got into it. And I tell my husband it was all his fault.
Right. Yeah, he can't say anything about anything. Right. It's like, you started me out. I did garment making also, Jackie, and I agree that I find that quilting is more forgiving.
It is. And absolutely. Yeah.
You have a lot better fabric choices. I mean,
my gosh.
You know,
yes.
You know, I want to use these great big prints, and I know you love really big prints, but they just didn't look so good on my body.
No. At least not on mine, but.
Not on mine either. So when at some point, I really would like to talk to you about long-arming for a few minutes, because you have been long-arming a long time. How long now?
Well, I got my first long-arm in 2000. And part of the reason I got it was because for the first few years I was quilting, like a lot of people do. I was putting it through my domestic machine. Mm-hmm. And there came a point where I made a king-size quilt for my parents. And by the time I was done quilting that through my domestic machine, and I wasn't doing anything complicated. I was just doing straight lines. It was a courthouse step. Pattern. So I wasn't doing anything complex. I was just doing like a cross hatching on it. But it was so, so big, pushing it through the machine, my body just ached and ached, my neck and my arms. And I said, there's got to be a better way. So at the time we were living in Pennsylvania, and the quilt shop owner there said, you know, there are people who you can send it out to and they'll quilt it. So I was in transition. I was moving back to Connecticut at that time, and I found a long armor here, and I sent it to her, and we became friends after that, and she quilted several of my quilts, probably about four or five of them. And I thought to myself, gee, you know, it'd be kind of nice if I could do that myself. And it so happened, we became close friends, and she, at the time, she said to me, she came up to me next time I brought a quilt to her. She says, you know, I'm going to be selling my machine because we're moving, and I don't want to bring it with me. I'm going to purchase a new one when we get where we're going. Would you be interested in buying it? And I didn't even hesitate.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I would love it. So I came home that night, and I said to my husband, guess what we're buying?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And it was really the start of, you know, my quilting business. I mean, I had to really support, you know, purchasing the machine from her. I did buy it at a used cost, so I wasn't paying full price. And I had that first machine. It was a Gamma. I had that first machine for 5 years before I upgraded to a stitch regulated one, and then later on upgraded to a Statler stitcher. But you know, it became a way for me to quilt my own quilts, but yet also start a business.
Mm-hmm. So now, 12 years ago, there were not as many people long-arming.
No, there wasn't. No.
So it was a much smaller community. Even when you went to the shows, they were like these massive things, like in one booth at a show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's. I mean, the face of long-arming has really changed. I mean, and even the face of quilting on a domestic machine has changed. Mm-hmm. People have become so adept at quilting on their own domestic machines. They're show quality quilts. They're fabulous. And the long arm market has really boomed since then, and people are becoming so talented. The work is just incredible. And, but the interesting thing is there is definitely no shortage of quilts to be quilted, for sure. My business, you know, continues to thrive. Mm-hmm. And yet there's, you know, a ton of competition out there, and everybody's good, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's enough to go around. There's
exactly
enough people who don't want to quilt their own, and people who love to quilt other people's quilts.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's a good partnership.
Yep. You bet.
You also, Jackie, are a fabulous designer. You design a lot of quilt patterns. Tell me a little bit about a new partnership. You're working with Wyndham Fabric now to do quilts for them.
Yep. I was contacted from Wyndham probably about a month or two ago, probably about 2 months ago, and they wanted to know if I'd be interested in doing digital designs for them. So, in other words, I don't have to actually make the quilt, although I probably will make them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But because I, One of the things that I do, and I've been designing for Quilt Magazine for 2.5 years now, and recently had the quilt that you show in the photo that you did of me was recently on the cover of the June-July issue. And how I design my quilts, a lot of the time I like to throw things up on the design wall, but, you know, I design a lot of them on my Mac. And because Mac and EQ is not written for Mac. They just don't make it in a Mac version, which kind of makes me a little sad, but that's okay. I found a way around that. So I actually design quilts digitally with the Mac's numbers program, which is kind of like a sister program to the Windows Excel, I think it is, the Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, okay, like a spreadsheet. So you work in a spreadsheet. Okay.
Right. And I can import any kind of photos. So I can import all the fabrics in a JPEG format. And I actually have tutorials set up on YouTube. So if anybody out there is a Mac user and does not have EQ, they can find my tutorials on YouTube to show how to actually design and create a quilt on your Mac using numbers. So I started...
Clever.
Yeah, and it really works out well. So I just did my first design for Wyndham, which I'm not quite sure when it's going to be available, but I think it's going to be a free project download on their site. But it's designed out of a collection called Day. I think it's Day for Night or Day and Night. It's a black and white quilt fabrics that also have a little hint of jade in them.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yes. And I love black and whites. I carry a bunch of them in my shop. That's one of my favorites. So when they sent me that collection, I said, oh, yeah, I'll do that. I love black and whites. So hopefully this is the beginning of a lot more designs for Wyndham as well.
Oh, that's really, really exciting. You do mostly like pieced quilts. Is that correct? Yeah.
I do. Although I can give you a little heads up. I have it's a pieced and appliqué quilt. I know you know when we did the block of the month, I said no appliqué, but I do have a quilt coming up in the October November issue of Quilt Magazine, which is an appliqué. Believe it or not, Pat. Yes.
Yeah.
There is appliqué on this quilt that I designed.
Yay.
And I made the quilt, and it's. So yeah, I do appliqué. If I'm asked to do it, I will do it. So I love and admire all of you who appliqué. I think it is the most fabulous thing. But when I don't tend to sit down too much. So it's easier for me to push something through the machine than it is to sit and appliqué.
Well, we can teach you how to push applique through the machine, dear.
Please do. When I see you need to help me do that.
We're going to take a little break here. And when we come back, what I want to do, Jackie, when we come back is talk about the block of the month that you hosted on your blog and about paper piecing.
You bet.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
When
quilting supplies worth over $1,200. Enter the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge sweepstakes for your chance to win tons of fabric, books, tools, and more. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases to enter.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm talking to Jackie Kunkel of Cape Cod Village Quilt Works. So, Jackie, you adore paper piecing. Tell me about this.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, as far as quilting goes, I really love all kinds of quilting, but if I were to choose one type of quilting technique to use, it would be paper piecing. And there's a lot of reasons that I really, really enjoy it. You know, over the years when I started quilting, you know, I did a lot of traditional, piecing. And then I had taken a class from Carol Doak paper piecing. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of first got me into it. And then I met Judy Niemeyer years ago and took, several classes from her and just fell in love with her style and her design of quilting and the technique that she uses for quilting. And I could sit and paper piece all day long. And I, in fact, I did that all last week, actually. I was out in Montana at Judy Niemeyer's retreat center, and I was out there with 9 other ladies. We were being certified to be instructors for her nationally to teach her technique of paper piecing and patterns and teacher patterns, which I've been booking for a while now, and I just officially certified as her teacher, and I am willing to travel anywhere to teach her techniques.
Yay!
I do have several bookings within New England, the retreat coming up in January in Vermont. So if anyone's interested in that, my schedule can be found on my blog. But her technique is different, and her style of design is also different than you might find from others. She, in particular, one of the things that I like about how she sets up her patterns is she uses a template layout sheet from which you cut all your fabrics. So all your fabrics are going to be cut on the straight of grain when you're piecing.
And is that important for paper piecing?
It is when you're doing a lot of curves, sure.
Okay.
Because when you're piecing certain things, the paper will add the stability to it. But if there's too much bias on it and you have to rip the paper away to then sew the seam together, you're going to have a lot of bias there. And just like any quilt, if you're piecing bias, even no matter how gingerly you hand it, you still may end up with some stretch. So she likes to have the layout there, and you can stack and cut about 16 layers of fabric at one time, which is fabulous.
Wow.
And I love that method because you can cut out an entire, like, queen size, king size quilt within probably about half an hour. It's a fabulous way to do it. And not to mention the fact that all your pieces are cut you have enough fabric. A lot of people have problems with paper piecing because they don't cut enough fabric and they end up with, like, you know, a little, they don't, it doesn't
right,
cover
it doesn't
the whole
cover
piece.
It.
Right, it doesn't cover the whole piece. There's no worries here, and we show them exactly how it's going to cover it. There's no worries about it. And she has a whole speed piecing method on how you can chain piece the entire quilt, really. It's a really organized, really great way to do it.
And the quilts are just look phenomenal. You know,
they are.
Her her designs. And you have a great color sense, Jackie, for putting, I think, the fabrics together.
Thank you. It's interesting because this week when we were there, we were doing her new technique of the month. And the only people that can teach the technique of the month are the certified instructors or the certified shops. So the pattern will only be available from that core set of people.
Okay, from that group.
And that's just the technique of the month. But her patterns are, I sell her patterns in my shop, but the technique of the month is strictly reserved for the certified instructors and shops. And the pattern is phenomenal. If anybody had followed my blog this week, I posted pictures every day. It's a Mariner's Compass quilt, and it's fantastic. And I have pictures up of everybody's quilts in the different colorways.
That was what was really cool, is seeing how it looked in all different colors, because it totally changes it.
Oh, it absolutely changes it. And the contrast, the neat thing is the contrast and the value, and that is a lot of things. Judy teaches a lot about color and choosing, what works best in her quilts. And over the years, I've learned so much from her. She's just a wealth of knowledge. So I'm happy and thrilled to be able to pass all that knowledge along to anybody who's willing to listen to me.
Yeah, very, very neat. The other thing that you've done really fun lately, Jackie, is the Quilters Block of the Month, which I've participated in, where you sent us a sort of like a mini challenge within the block. It's like a mystery. You sent us the little pack of fabric and said, use this fabric. And, what do you get out of doing something like that? I mean, what enjoyment do you get?
For me, I was telling some of my friends this yesterday, for me, quilting for me in general is all about sharing. Mm-hmm. People have been very generous in the quilting world to me over all these years, and I feel like I'm giving back. And part of the reason why I asked you and all the other designers to help design a block a month that we could do for free, it was to give back to people. And that was my premise behind the whole thing. I mean, I could have easily done it and set it up as a pattern to sell, but I really wanted to give back. And I was trying to think of a great way that I could, and that all other people, all the other designers that I had asked, including you, would be able to give back just a little something, just one block.
Right.
And there are a ton of people participating in it, and it's not too late, too. If there's anybody out there that wants to participate, they can jump in any time, even after it's over, because the links are still going to be available on my blog, and they're going to be there permanently. So
that's the exciting part. It's exciting. Yeah. Wasn't it exciting to see how each person interpreted that group of fabric?
Yep. I gave what I sent to all of you was... and as you know, Pat, everything is pretty much bright and bold on my
yes.
That's what I tend to gravitate towards. I sent everybody a little packet of Case Facet fabrics, and they were all pretty bright and bold. And I said, design an 8.5-inch block with these fabrics. And the only stipulation was no applique. And the reason behind that basically was because I wanted it to be appealing to beginners. Not that beginners can't do applique, but I didn't want anybody to be frightened off by the fact that they might have to do some hand sewing. I thought that could possibly be frightening, maybe only because I was frightened about it at first. But
we need a little workshop with you, Miss Jackie, on the applique.
I think you might a little remedial applique with me.
A little machine applique.
Yeah, there
Make
you
your
go.
Heart sing.
There you go. But I mean, I think all the blocks have been fabulous, and I've gotten such nice feedback from everybody who's been involved. And we have a great Flickr group that people can go and they can look at all the blocks that were created, and they're all different styles too, and what people are doing with them, the colors, the stuff. We've got several. I've got one person, Stephanie from Hawaii, who's doing it. She's making four a month, and she's making each one into a pillow.
Oh my gosh! How fun!
Yeah. So
neat. Now, you also, I want to get these last two things. Be sure we get them in. You have a brand new quilt show that you are hosting. Tell us about this.
Yes. Okay. So this was, I have to say, this is a little selfish on my part. And my husband flies as a hobby. He has a private pilot's license. And of course, I quilt. And our friend is the president at the New England Air Museum, which is up near Bradley International Airport in Windsor Locks, Connecticut, which is real central to most of New England. It's pretty easy for anybody to get there. So I approached him and asked if he'd ever thought about having a quilt show there, because they have special events. And he says, well, I don't know, because he didn't know a whole lot about quilting. So he gave it to his event coordinator, and we touched base back in December, and she jumped right on it. She says, absolutely, let's do this. So it's really coming together quite nicely. We're going to have 200 quilts, and hopefully we're going to get up to 200. We're getting close. 200 quilts in the main exhibit, any kind of quilt. It doesn't have to be plane related. We've got all kinds of fabulous, fabulous quilts. And in fact, Judy Niemeyer is even putting, I have three of her quilts going in the show, which will be really cool. And then we're going to have a special exhibit in the B-29 hangar, which houses a B-29, which is a plane that was used in World War II, special exhibit of Sue Reich, her quilt. She's a collector and historian of World War II quilts. We're going to have 30 World War II quilts there. Another, yeah, it's going to be fabulous. And then another special exhibit called Things with Wings, which we issued a challenge for people to make miniature quilts that had anything to do with wings. It could be dragonflies, it could be butterflies, birds, planes, whatever, but they're going to be quilts that are wing-themed. And we're also going to have two guest lecturers. The show is going to run from the September 17th, which is a Monday, through the 23rd, which is a Sunday, and they're going to be museum hours. And on the weekend, the 22nd and 23rd, Marie Bostwick will be speaking, a dear friend of mine and yours.
Yes.
She will be speaking on Saturday, the 22nd, and Sue Reich will be giving two lectures on Sunday. We will have vendors, of which I will be one of them, and we have several other vendors. We're going to have raffle baskets, so it's going to be quite a nice show. And I invite all your listeners, if they're in the area, to please come visit. The event, because they can come, their husbands can see the airplanes and the quilts, and they can bring their kids. We're going to have origami for the kids, so it's going to be quite. It's going to be quite a nice show.
It sounds fabulous, fabulous.
Yeah.
I will have to check my schedule to see where I am. But
well, we would love you to come up. Let me know if you're coming. You can stay with me. We got the spare bedroom is right next to the studio. You might be sneaking in there at night.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, yeah. And so one last thing before we end is that you also have been doing interview podcasts for a very long time. How do people find your interview podcast, Jackie?
My quilting podcast is called Jackie's Quilting Chronicles. I've been doing them for a little over 3 years. They can go to my blog, and there is a link from my blog to the page that the podcasts are hosted, or they can search it on iTunes. They are available on iTunes for free as well.
Great.
As we know, all podcasts are free. So they can listen in. I don't do a live show like you, but I do interviews. And then when I don't do interviews, I'm usually just talking about tips, techniques, and reviews.
Well, Jackie, this has been super fabulous. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Pat.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.